Glad my wife's here with me too, back there. It's 5 years. 5 years since we've been to family camp here. So where'd the time go, you know? We're speeding toward eternity where there is no time. So every year goes a little faster because we're getting used to eternal time, which is 1,000 years, is like a day. So since Jesus went up to heaven, it's been, what, 2 days? Are we getting impatient or something? I mean, since we became Christians a couple seconds by God time, let's think God time here, people, because we're God's people, right? Amen? I got to tell a funny story about GPS. I told Nick I'm going to tell a joke. He said, I'm not against him. I just don't do him. So I'll do one for him. But GPS, I swore I'd never tell anybody about this, but I've been telling people. I'm too much a people guy. 2.5 years ago when I had the big white beard and we were in the States and we brought snow everywhere. What was that song that was playing then about snow or let it flow or let it go? No, anyway, it was let it snow, I think. And that was our theme song. And then we'd leave and let the people suffer the consequences. But we had fun. Yeah, we're bad. Hey, 19 years in the tropics, we wanted some snow, okay? And we were in Kansas. We got off the highway. We got our gas, a few snacks, got back on the highway. This is the first time we've used GPS. And we're flying down the highway. If you know me, I don't go slow anywhere. And we're heading toward Denver. Now, what's at Denver? Rocky Mountains. What's behind in Missouri? Flatland, hills. So we're going on the highway super fast. And the GPS says, need to take the next turn to the right. And so many, you know, take the turn. And dumb GPS. This is, you know, west-east highway. You can't get mixed up, can you? We're flying down and it's still making noise. Like, turn it off. And then I looked in my rearview mirror and I saw some mountains. That was one of the, I'm a dumb dummy here moment. That's our laugh. And I know my geography. The mountains are to the west. We were flying toward the east. We only lost about 40 miles that day. You can make up all time. Just go faster. Just like you can pack everything. Just push harder. It all fits. The state it'll be in at the end is a different story. Now let's get to preaching, Jeff Hostetter. Brother Jay didn't ask you to come up here and tell a bunch of jokes. Could hire somebody to do that. So we're in Mark 7, 17 to 23. When he had left the crowd and entered the house, his disciples questioned him about this parable. And he said to them, are you so obtuse? No, something like that. Are you so lacking in understanding also? Jesus, shame on you. I mean, Bernie Sanders guys would be grabbing their teddy bear and going to the safe place right here. I mean, do you have what it takes to be a disciple of Jesus and take the tough talk of the master? Because, I mean, he just says it like it is. Let's read that again. I like it. He says, are you so lacking in understanding also? Do you not understand that whatever goes into the man from the outside cannot defile him? Now, I don't think Jesus was a sarcastic, mean guy or spirited at all. Don't get me wrong. I think things that were spiritually so abundantly clear to a pure and holy man who loved God, loved the Torah, loved the Word, they're as plain as a nose on your face. Like, the man's a man, a woman's a woman. We heard that, you know. This is clear to our Lord. He's a spiritual Einstein, but he's not arrogant. He's a young man. He's 30-some years old. And this is abundantly clear what we're going to see. Abundantly clear to the spiritually minded. It's not what you eat that makes you... I mean, it's not that food you put in your tummy. He says it's what proceeds out. Let's read that. Do you not understand that whatever goes into the man from outside cannot defile him because it does not go into his heart? I always mess up my cheap reading glasses. These are falling off. But into his stomach and is eliminated. Thus he declared all foods clean. I don't think Peter was listening here if I read Acts 10. And that tells me something. I agree. It takes people a long time to change their old religious prejudices. We need to be patient. But not so patient we let him continue. We have to correct things. But this was here said that no food could make a man unclean, but what proceeds out of the man, verse 20, that's what defiles a man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed the evil thoughts, fornications, thefts, murders, adulteries, deeds of coveting, wickedness, as well as deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these evil things proceed from within, and they do defile the man. First point I want to make about that is it's all about the heart, right? The one word here that matters above all words right here is the heart. And we want to talk about the way the heart is a storage facility or some kind of the capacity to store things in a very unique way. We're going to talk about the new heart. And before I forget to say it, I want to say it now. Gigo is what? God in, God out. Oh yeah, garbage in and garbage out too. But I switched that a bit. This was said to people who were under the old covenant, who had not received the great miracle of Pentecost, who had not received the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. These were to some disciples that were obtuse. They were lacking in understanding. So this morning, I kind of want to switch this a little bit. I'll say a few things about the negative on this. This is a negative passage in some ways. There's a lot of negative things here. One thing for sure is that while we are focusing on the heart and the change of heart and the power that comes from a renewed and restored heart, that in no way changes the standard of God for holiness, but it raises it. In other words, all these things listed are still evil things. There's no libertinism in the body of Christ that is wrong. There's still a super high standard. We have to have a righteousness that will exceed that of the Pharisees. I am a little concerned, and we've heard from some of our speakers, that we might be like a lobster in hot water, and we're slowly changing with the culture around us, not even recognizing it, you know, like speech. We can say things without thinking that are totally reflections of our culture. I said something about that at Peaks. You know, the most unpopular phrase in American language right now is whatever. If you want to push a button and your wife on your, you know, and poke the bear or something, you just say whatever with that tone, whatever. It's not a very edifying thing. But see, it comes from our culture. There's a lot of things we might say. I just want to have a little pet peeve. I'll pick it on it for a minute. But, you know, if a husband or wife says about the partner in front of the kids all the time, he's a hottie or she's a hottie, I don't really want my grandkids to think that my son married, you know, his wife because she was a hottie. It's her character. It's a holy character. She could have been in a wheelchair. She could have had her face half burned off and he could have married her. Amen? Well, that's how we were when God found us. And worse. So it's about character. But see, that phrase is just used all the time, so you can pick it up. And that's not what the sermon's about. It's just an example. That we can unconsciously almost be absorbed, like in the Matrix. Like in the, you know, if you know anything about Star Trek, there's the Borg. And we will assimilate you. Resistance is futile. Well, no, it's not. No, it's not. We're all about resistance. We're all about resistance. But the exciting thought here I want to... So I will admit that, you know, if you program in garbage, you'll get garbage out. I have an example of that. I was over at the gym working out 2 days ago. And, hey, look, at the Peaks, people talk more about my son's bicep peaks and his message almost. And he is a younger man, and he's bigger than me. And so I'm very happy to pass baton of the weightlifting thing to him. And please don't ask me, I still work out. That hurts my feelings. I do work out. I'm just older, okay? I'm a lot older. Even Arnold Schwarzenegger's got smaller. So I'm going to talk about that in a minute. So I have something here for you. You're listing non-pleasure. I heard it over there by the gym. It's coming from a house, somebody's house. And I might need volume maxed out here as I play this for a second. Sorry, excuse me for playing this. It's awful. But no profanity. It's just, okay, here we go. Can you give it some volume? Okay. Can you hear it? Well, he's talking about highway to hell. Yeah. Highway to hell. Over and over and over. I was walking to kind of warm, cool down, and I heard that phrase probably 20 times. Being blasted out of someone's house loud enough to be heard at least 100 yards to 200 yards away. See, that kind of symbolizes what we're up against in our present perverse generation. We get a lot of subliminal and overt messages that are just simply ungodly. And we can pick those up unwittingly or maybe wittingly. Years ago, my brother was 16 years old, Lance. He ended up being a Marine. I don't know what that says, but he did. But I tried to really help him at that age from being absorbed by the culture. I didn't succeed that much, but I tried. By the way, he has ended up being a preacher, and so I'm not dissing on my brother. But I was showing him Christian music, okay? And I played for him Petra and DeGarmo and Key and other big bands back then for the Christian type of contemporary music. And he listened to it, and he said, well, yeah, you know, that's okay. But I still like my music. But he said, you know, I guess at some point you just got to do what you don't like the most so the devil doesn't get you. I'm pretty smart for a 16-year-old. I mean, even if you like something, is it edifying? Is it? Now, let's talk a bit more about this. Do we want to win? Who wants to win? All right. This message is only for winners. For those who want to get by, you can leave now or go to sleep or do your Facebook or something. If you want to win, this message is for you because I want to win. I am very ambitious to win. I want to max out for Jesus Christ. I'd like to be so full of Jesus that when I came to River and there's no bridge I could walk across, so to speak. Don't you? This thing called Christianity, discipleship, doesn't work except full bore 101%. It doesn't work any other way. It's a full commitment, all in. Brother Jim Derry once asked me, you know, about being all in. And Steve Doty took a walk with me in the woods in northern Michigan around the Northman time. He told me all about his experiences as a Marine and rescue and fire department, all those things. You've heard the stories. They're awesome stories. I really love them, honestly. And then he kind of, in his way, sort of looked half, you know, over at me and like, I'm all in on this spiritual revolution. And I think he's asking, what about you? And I said, I am too. And I'm still in it, brother. How many years ago was that? I am not flagging in my zeal at all. Not a bit more. But I appreciate that because he had, you know, been in some life-threatening and difficult situations, and he had seen a lot of life, and he had decided this war, this spiritual war, is worth being all in for. And it's not enough to just play the game. We need to win the game. This is about overcomers, not just people who survive, but people who thrive. I do not want to be a sideline spectator. Do you? I don't want to be one of all that multitude of the army of Israel that sat and watched Goliath taunt God's people and the God of Israel with his big, loud, braggarty mouth and his big, loud, braggarty muscle body with his huge weapons. I want to be the one guy who takes a sling and takes him down. How about you? See, the neat thing about this whole new creation concept is it is for every man. Paul said that in Colossians 1, that he would equip or he would perfect every man. Read verses 27, talking about the indwelling of Christ, and then talking about that purpose he had with the power he was given, that every man would be made perfect in Christ. You know, we all get this new heart. We are going to have this capacity. So I'm talking from the trenches as one who's been fighting, still being saved, continuing forward, not pontificating from above down to lowly peons who don't get it. I'm talking to my brethren here who are in the war and fighting this fight. And it's a hard fight. Amen? And we want to win. We are here to win the gold medal, not even the silver or the bronze. But each of us have our own race to run. It is the race suited for us. It's the race that God equips us for. It's the race that's before us, each one of us. And it's one we can all get a gold medal in and be a great Olympian for Christ. Amen? You've got to believe that. Because it is what the Bible teaches. And it's the only way to live a Christian life. See, talk about a heart to win here. Having a heart to win. Now, I've lifted weights, as I mentioned earlier, and I'm still pretty competitive. I was happy to play basketball yesterday at 56. And I even made a couple baskets. Yeah. My knee didn't give out. After the first game and we'd won, I walked off head held high before they saw I was getting tired. Hostetter never wearies. Yeah, I'll keep him thinking that. But I do try to take care of my physical body and still work out. I've been showing some of you the band workout that I do. It's awesome. I'm going to market that and get rich. But now, if you have someone who wants to be an elite athlete, his diet is pretty important. I'll add to what Phil said about liquor. I've researched it entirely and comprehensively for years. And there's no serious athlete who puts alcohol in their body. You can check it out. And when I have a grandson or granddaughter hurt at 10 at night, and mom and dad bring him over for us, the grandparents, to do something, when I'm called in the middle of the night for a baptism, I want to be on track, fully, completely functional, with my mind alert. And that's where I'm coming from. The priest in the old covenant did not drink anything when they were serving in the temple or the tabernacle. And I'm serving every minute. I can get a call right now from Ghana, from my daughter, or from India saying, I need some advice. Well, I just had a martini, so call me back tomorrow. Had a couple buds, so I'll get back with you. I'm on this to be alert. I want to win. I have two weightlifting magazines recently. Basically said, if you go work out for 2 hours in the gym and you go have a couple beers, everything you did is negated by that poison called alcohol. So go ahead and drink. You have freedom. But I want to win. I want to be clear-minded, focused. And I don't need anything to make me feel happy except the Holy Spirit and some coffee sometimes. And a hug from my wife and some chocolate. I do have a body. I'll admit it. But I don't want that anything that comforts me or would also hurt me. Okay, enough said about that. To the words of the wise is sufficient. Now, along with that, I just have a few little props here. But would you think that I was getting ready for a major class bodybuilding contest and this is what I'm munching on? Who knows what these are? They're jelly beans. That's right. But they're not just jelly beans. They are sour gourmet jelly beans. Private collection. And artificially flavored. Those are natural colors, I'm sure. Now, what I just would do is I'd say these are health, the orange is for my mood and the yellow is for my depression. Do a little mental. But I called my wife. She was out at the health food store she's going shopping for some snacks. She likes to eat healthy. We were vegetarians when we got married. We made our own yogurt and our own alfalfa sprouts. And we still would if we could. We just can't do it in Africa. Too busy. But I like to eat healthy. I like whole wheat. And we grind Montana wheat over in Ghana to make our pizza. So we try to do a good job. But, a couple times don't. But I don't eat jelly beans. And I do walk by the donut stand in Walmart's. I only look back 3 times. I mean, if I was Lot's wife, I'd be a pillar of salt by now. And, of course, it helps that Sherry's pulling on me a little bit, too. I mean, it comes down to what I want. Do I want to be 66 and be able to play a little basketball, a 5-point game instead of a 10-point game, half court with my great-grandkids or not? Oh, I want to, so I'll try to walk by the donut stand a few more times. I did get one donut, and it was stale. The Lord delivered me. I took a bite and said, ah, it's stale. I used to eat those little white donuts like you wouldn't believe. Back in the day, Jeremiah still does, you can tell, too. He's just, he's getting big. But you don't eat jelly beans if you want to win. Now, if there's anybody here who has a legalistic mindset, there's nothing the Bible says you can't eat jelly beans. If you want to win a bodybuilding contest, let me make that clear. You can still get to heaven and eat jelly beans. I'm actually going to give them away to somebody. But again, I mean, let's go a little deeper. We have had a lot of pests in our house. We've had, so many. We've had big rats, little rats, mice in between. They scare us the most. We've had cockroaches, a big kind. We've had Chinese cockroaches, a little kind. Bed bugs are pretty lately. Ticks, red ants, black ants, crows. We're getting rid of them with poison. And talking about poison, guess what's in this bag? You. Tomcat Mouse Killer 3. I guess the other two didn't work enough. Or they're morphing. They're getting resistant. That's scary. Rodents take over the world of unusual size in Africa. Can you tell I'm happy to be up here? I get serious, hopefully. But why would you listen to garbage like, highway to hell, if you have any intention to go to heaven? Young people, why justify stuff that you know in your heart's wrong? Trash it. I did that when I was 16. When I learned about Petra and DeGarmo and Key, that was the end of all my other music. That wasn't wrong, wrong, wrong. I listened to light jazz, Jackson Brown and stuff. I had switched from, earlier, you know what I listened to? Santana. You want me to start singing some of the lyrics? I can play them on the guitar still. Black Magic Woman. They're still kind of in there, aren't they? Because you see, just like you put poison in your tummy, it releases something later that can be very bad for you. Try Ebola virus, one of them. Put one in your tea. You have about a 70% chance of dying in 2 weeks. Some things, like jelly beans, are pretty innocent. There's a lot of things you can do. But see, are we into what do we get to do that's not that great? What are we allowed to do that won't hurt us too much? I hate that kind of conversation. I'm out of it. You come to my gym, I want to hear how we can bench 350 this year, not how we can, just kind of get in there and move a few plastic weights around. I don't understand how we cannot get that. God wants us to maximize, not minimize, in our Christian life, what we can do. To enlarge us, to increase us. Now, this would be better. Someone gave me 2-3 boxes of the Premier Protein, 30 grams. Low fat, 1 gram of sugar. That's why it didn't taste very good. The best way to drink this is really quick. My wife won't touch this stuff. She's smarter than me. It's like, ew, it tastes awful. It's like, yeah, but don't you want to get that protein? No, not that much. I'm going. I've got one half box left, I think. These are handy, though. Low fat, too. I don't know if that's good, though. And then I stole my wife's grapes. She was having a panic attack. My grapes! Healthy. You don't need grapes in Oregon. You just pick blackberries. They're everywhere. You should all move to there. If you like blackberries, that's the state. It's the blackberry state. Good stuff. All right. You get the point. If you want to win, you need the best things stacked into your storage capacity, your heart. But it brings a question up. The old man heart was damaged beyond repair, wasn't it? Have you ever had a damaged computer? I don't know why I'm being so goofy today, but My brother-in-law, Greg, is a really smart guy with computers. And he gave me DOS for Dummies way back in the 90s. He said, have fun with your computer. Just mess with it. You can't mess it up. Just use this. So I got DOS with Dummies, went through some pages, got on there. Completely shut down the computer for 3 months. My brother-in-law was able to restore 60% capacity on that thing. That's the last time I ever tried programming or any other interesting things on a computer. You can damage a computer very easily, actually, if you're me. You can damage a heart easily, too. And the whole world is full of people with broken, messed up hearts because of sin. And sin is devastating in its effect on the person's soul, inner man, as we all know. And once that happens, the capacity for storage of what's really the best spiritual stuff is lost, or at least curtailed and damaged. There's no way then that a person who's not a new creation can efficiently, effectively, and consistently absorb the spiritual truths and the spiritual riches that come from heaven through Christ. It's just not possible. We've heard some things about that. The outer man can change. He can change his performance for a little while, but it's like Old Faithful. It's going to blow. The old man's going to blow one way or the other. It's inevitable. Some people blow by drinking, smoking certain things, blowing up at their spouse, quitting their ministry, stealing, lying, coveting, lusting, or whatever. All these things we see that come from the broken heart. They come out of that broken inner man that's been damaged beyond repair through sin. And you see, the body of a man is kind of neutral. God made Adam and Eve with a body that was fantastic. I'm sure both of them could have won Olympic medals in any category with training. They had bodies fit for gods. They were made by God, right? And they lived how many years? We know Adam lived a long time. But you see, the body with an inner corruption, with sin, is now subject to Satan. We're not alone here. We can't just talk about renewing the mind or about overcoming without keeping in mind that the devil is really there. He's truly a personality to reckon with. Very hideous. Enormously dedicated against God and all things pertaining. And he is going to target those that are the biggest threat to him first. And he has a good track record of winning. So he has some braggado or boldness, bodaciously, to even go to Jesus himself in the wilderness personally to tempt the Son of God. You don't think he can come to you or me? What's it say at the end of John? A whole world, 1 John 5, lies under the sway or the control of the evil one. Now, Revelation 20 does show that Satan's been chained or shackled and put into some sort of pit. That's all symbolic language of a true spiritual thing. He's somehow limited, but it's provisional. It's if you put on the full armor, if you resist him. And it's amazing. I'll watch people melting down. It happened just the other day. They're melting down. They're obviously letting Satan get his hooks in their mind, in their heart, and get them to think wrong thoughts, to have depression, discouragement, divisive thoughts, you know, distracting thoughts. And you can see them in this tunnel, and they're starting to make really stupid decisions that are going to hurt them, their family, and everybody around. And if you try to say, look, I think the devil's on you, it's like, me? The devil getting me? But Jesus could say to Peter, get behind me, Satan. And so do we think we're beyond Satan? Well, we weren't for sure when we were still in the flesh and not in Christ. And now we don't have to be, because provisionally, by faith, if we walk in the Spirit, Satan has no hooks in us anymore. We do have a full armor to put on, don't we? But Achilles' heel can be there. Story of Achilles, what happened? Mighty warrior for Greece, killed the Trojans left and right. No one could take him on. He killed Hector, their greatest warrior in personal combat. But then an arrow hit him in the heel, where there's a tiny chink in his armor, and it killed him as he's turned his back to the archer. And that kind of happened in the Bible to Ahab. Random arrow. He's got all his plans and dodged the Lord's judgment, and shump! He's gone. He's going to bleed out in his chariot, right? Full armor. What happens if that shield of faith isn't up? What happens if you don't really know you're saved? You know you're saved. You know that today if you died sitting there, you're going straight to heaven. Then you can't put on the full armor or full helmet of salvation, can you? What if you're equivocating or being a liar about something or messing with the truth? Can you put on the belt of truth then? What if you're not really ready to go and share the gospel with people around you? Can you put on those shoes of the readiness of the gospel of peace? You can't. So what's going to happen? Satan will come back again, and he's going to take that body that can be used one way or the other. But I wanted to say that the beautiful thing here, as we know, is God has given us this new capacity, hasn't he? Look in Ezekiel, a prophecy about that. Ezekiel 36, for example. You're a biblically pretty literate group, so I think you know this. But Ezekiel 36, verse 26. Moreover, I'll give you a new heart and put a new spirit. This new capacity for storage of spiritual riches, of spiritual protein and nutrients that can then be released in our life for victory. That's awesome. Just like the evil heart can store evil things all up and release those in our body, in our actions, the new man with his new heart can store up the good things, and he, if he wants the best preaching available, the best music available, renewing the mind through great music. I had another thing here on that. Give me a second. I think I got it ready. I'm getting a little bit good with using this now. There we go. Jeremy Camp, Same Power. Who knows that song? Anybody know it? Same power that rose Jesus from the dead. What? Lives? I'm sorry, this has the worst sound on it. Oh, this is a little better. Now, my wife and I got to hear this a lot last year when we came to North Carolina to help her dad who broke his neck. It was on the radio. It's our choice to tune in to the... Listen to this. It was free on the radio. We were listening to God. She said, honey, can you hear the words? I said, yeah. In me, lives in you. Lives in us. Amen? Do you believe it? The same power that those mountains when they speak. I believe it. The same power that can call a raging sea lives in us. Lives in us. He lives in us. Now, where I sit in a country where there's armed robbers killing everybody in our neighborhood, all households, shooting people in front of the bakery in the broad in the street, where my wife has malaria for the fourth time in a year, has her gallbladder out in India, we have family camp in 3 days, where Gaius, the oldest son of the leader there, Titus, is in a motorcycle accident, cut up from head to foot, and he does all the translation, all the singing, and teaches the next day in family camp. We need to believe this. And we need to renew or restore this in our mind daily. Renewal of the mind. We need that memory work program. You say, which one? The one that works. The Bible doesn't tell you 5 or 10 or 15 verses a day. You do what works. But you need to have that word abiding in your heart, because when it abides in your heart, you shall not sin against God. And the thing is, you have the new heart to store that in. The Old Testament folks could not do exactly the same as us, because they weren't given that new heart. It was a prophecy, a promise, a potential coming. It's come 2,002 days ago. A couple seconds ago for some of us who were immersed 20 years ago. There's no excuse not to use that new heart then properly. The capacity's there for storage of everything we need for life and for godliness. We have not only a new heart, but we have also, we have a new covenant. We have a new message. We know that Jesus rose from the dead. So that song, same power that rose Jesus from the dead. How would Job have sung that? What picture would he have of Sheol compared to you and I? Life and immortality has been brought to light through King Jesus by doing it in the public realm with 500 plus witnesses, according to 1 Corinthians 15. You have your discussions with neo-atheists. Tell them, look, bring the same standard here you would to a court case. Why do we discredit Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Four witnesses, or close to them. Mark wrote for Peter, almost certainly. Luke did research with the living witnesses in the time they were still living. And his Greek is scholarly Greek. I studied Greek. He was no slouch puppy. You read his nautical terms in Acts 28. And his geographical terms and his political terminology. He has proven to be trustworthy. He's a tremendous biographer of Paul, a tremendous historian. So let's be fair. These same neo-atheists who believe in Julius Caesar and George Washington, who they never met, never saw because of some history that they've read, why can't they believe that Jesus is real and that he walked on the water and he did rise from the dead? You see, we don't only have the new heart to absorb these spiritual riches from glory. We have the message of glory to receive. What good is it to have a camera? Nothing to take a picture of. But if we had the new heart, but we did not have the picture of Jesus in glory, then it'd be worthless. The two go together, don't they? Amen? But you see, they're gifts. They're gifts. We have many gifts from God. Many people believe that God is so sovereign that they go toward Calvinism and say, your choices don't really matter. God's dictated everything. And you know, I got to tell you, it's puzzling how Judas could be prophesied about in Psalms and how he had a choice. I don't quite get it. It's beyond my pay grade. But I believe he did have a choice, don't you? Because if he didn't have a choice, and we all don't have a choice, there's no culpability. There'd be no judgment. How do you judge people who aren't capable of doing better? We are under judgment because we can choose. Yet, nevertheless, the ability to choose comes from where? God. And I believe people can lose their power of choice by observation, become demoniacs, so to speak. They can no longer choose. Maybe we have to choose for them in a sense and intervene or something. Some people seem, obviously, if you're a Christian, you go too far. You know, Hebrews 10, 26, 27, you can lose your power to return. The point of no return, where you can't repent anymore. That's a scary thought, and no one should even want to go one inch that direction. Power of choice, then, is a... what about people who lose their memory? Isn't memory a gift from God? My grandpa, dear guy, loved him, but when he hit about 90, his memory stopped working properly. He didn't know who I was. He's a very nice guy. He said, who are you, young man? I said, I'm your grandson. Oh, good to meet you. What's your name? Jeff. Who's this lovely lady? He's a really nice guy. I say, that's my wife. Oh, she's such a sweet lady. 30 minutes later, who are you again? He lost it. Never to get it back again. He died at 100, but he never got that memory back again. I heard about a guy, a true story, they made a movie or show about it. He lost all memory every time he slept. And his wife He had pictures everywhere, and she'd reacquaint in the morning with him. I'm your wife. He'd, oh, okay. Here's a picture. Oh, all right. He made this. Really? And they would have to re-romance each other every single day because the next day he forgot who she was. His memory was gone. Wiped clean. Sight is a gift from God. Touch is a gift from God. Intuition is a gift from God. Conscience is a big gift from God. And all these gifts from God can what? Be used or abused. They can all be used or abused. They're gifts given to man for being man. The non-Christian has a conscience. Romans 2:14 proves that. Even the Gentiles. See, this new heart that is predicted here in Ezekiel and other passages, this new heart, this new capacity for receiving the things from above, for being able to have insight, to have be enlightened. We're enlightened people, the Bible says in Hebrews. That is a gift to be used or abused. It's not locked in. We're being saved. We've not just been saved at our baptism, put the certificate on the wall. That's your degree, and so to speak, on with normal life. There is no normal life after Christ. Your life ends in the waters of baptism. And a new life begins. A life with a new capacity. We're given an enlarged heart. The psalmist asked in Psalm 110 that his heart would be enlarged. What do you think God should expect from such people who've been given the conscience, the memory, sight, ability to think and understand, social abilities? You know, if I talk to neo-atheists, I guess intuition, love of music, appreciation of art, conscience. You go through, we are wonderfully made, Psalm 139, verse 14. We're not just biochemical accidents that happen because the sunlight hits some chemicals somewhere. It's ridiculous. We are wonderfully made by God with wonderful capacities. As human beings, how much more new creations? You see, above all, we should protect our heart. We should cherish what comes into the heart. We should desire, like the psalmist could say in Psalm 51, David, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. See, we need renewal, restorage. This is not a one-time thing. You can't go from family camp and glide off of what you get here for the next year. This is like a super booster. But every day you need renewal of the mind, of that heart. You've got to get that music that's going to lift you up. Right. You're going to have to watch movies that lift you up. Ben-Hur is not a perfect movie, but it got me in tears. Why? It had epic repentance and a miracle of reconciliation, something I've been personally praying about. I loved it. That's my kind of movie. There are some movies with great wisdom you can carefully use. But even those, I don't think you could show a seven-year-old chariots running over people. Would you take them to the Colosseum back in the day? No. Those are for maybe, not, I don't even, how many women can handle some of that? And Ben-Hur, a guy died in the original movie in the chariot scene. It's brutal. Do we want to desensitize our children? I want to just throw this in as a grandpa. I've got 15 grandkids, more coming, God willing. Lots more. If Jackson, who's in college right now, and Alima both, and I think they probably are, going to get married, have five kids like Jessica surprised us with, and then Pinoy did too. It's awesome. Each one's precious. Look, I'm telling you this. I love everybody. I love everybody. And I don't believe that legalism works to change people. I get that. I really do. It doesn't work for me. It won't work for you. The heart has to be renewed. We've heard a lot about that, so I don't need to say that much. Through the picture of Christ in glory as our identity, that's who I am, and He's in me. I've got His Spirit, and by more belief in that and more tying into that, I can be changed from within. I totally believe it. But I'll tell you this. Don't you come around my grandkids and bring any nonsense or stuff that's going to be a stumbling block to them. I will remove you from the premises forthwith with extreme prejudice. And you should too, dads. Look, would you have some pervert come to your 14-year-old girl's bedroom, look through the window and start talking to her in all kinds of smooth tones? I bet Bill, there, he's got a couple pretty decent guns, would be around the back there and say, well, he doesn't have a daughter, but imagine.
I have daughters.
You do. And he's like, what are you doing here? So how's it right for that same guy be on here at 12 o'clock at night talking to your daughter? It ain't right. So remember that with kids, they're under the law, and we need to protect them. And enough said. Be careful. Be attentive. I'll just say this. If you're not attentive, bad things can happen to kids. Amen? Yeah. Eyes on them. Where are they at? Who are they with? What do they listen to? What are they watching? What are they thinking? Do you talk to your kids? Had a nice little hike with Luke and his two daughters and with his niece, Matthew Wilson's girl, and really sweet kids. And, you know, on the way down, I talked about spiritual stuff with them. We talked about contentment, spiritual contentment. And I said, I'm going to say her name wrong, Alyssa. Is it right? Did I say it right? That's your niece, right? Matt? Alyssa, I said, you can't hold things in your hand on earth. Time. Because I said, can you believe it? We're having a family camp coming up, and it's been a year already. And the girls were saying, yeah, boy, that is come up quick. I said, it comes quicker when you get older. I said, time's just flying. It's going towards eternity. See, I just switched it to eternity. Now we're going to spiritual. And I said, you know, you can't hold events in your hand. Time's like trying to hold water in your hand. And she said, that's a good thought. I hadn't thought of that before, holding water in your hand. I hope she remembered that for years. I've sowed a spiritual seed in her as we were hiking. Deuteronomy 6, 4, and 5, right? See, if you let your kids think about all kinds of nonsense, they probably will. They'll tell poo-poo jokes and everything else. I'm guilty of that sometimes, though. But, you know, we need to elevate our hearts to the very throne of God. Jesus needs to be our constant bosom companion in our everyday life, walking with us and talking with us, in a sense. He needs to be our best friend, our kids' best friend. Our kids need to love Jesus, admire Jesus, want to imitate Jesus, be fanatics for Jesus. Not Thor. Not Spidey Man. I'd rather be Samson anyway. Now, a little bit of that might be good. You can kind of tie in. I'm not trying to be a legalist here. But do we want to win? Olympians for Christ. Gold medals for Christ. Maxing out for Christ. Let's not be content with what are we allowed to do here. What's our, you know, what are we allowed to do with our freedom? I'll tell you, with our freedom, let's take protein powder, not rat poison. With our freedom, let's eat steak and potatoes and good salads, not jelly beans. You want to be a jelly bean Christian? You want to take in the least required to get by? It don't work that way. You want to be a sideline sitter? Or a frontline champion? You want to take down Goliath or be taken down by Goliath? You want to be overcoming or be overcome? There's your soul's at stake. Your kids' souls are at stake, and so is the world's souls at stake. Right. Let's step it up, brethren. We're either getting an excuse to step out or we're finding a reason to step up, aren't we? Right. Higher ground. Higher ground. Use a discernment. Use your storage capacity, your new mind heart that is now given the same ability as Jesus himself. Jesus lives in you. His spirit lives in you. You can store the best and then release that in your actions from in of you to the out of you. And then it will reflect on your choices of entertainment. It will reflect on how you treat people. It will reflect on the use of time. It will reflect on the use of your money. Everything will reflect what you store within. Let's be careful what we store within. And let's also watch our kids while we're at it. And God will give us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord.